The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live from 1:50pm on Racing Radio. Mick Norton, John Budden and Gareth Topham will be in the studio. We have racing on the turf at Hamilton and Leicester, and we have an all-weather fixture on the poly track at Kempton alongside that. So three meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark. Busy all day on Saturday, but... plenty to reflect on.
Yes, and we'll start with the golden boy of air. He shined on Air Gold Cup Day, didn't he? Or he shone, maybe is the correct word. O'Sheen Murphy. He had an incredible four-timer. 9,262-1, was it? I think it was the payout for if you got all four of them.
And one of them a spare ride as well. Yeah. Put the icing on the cake. But sadly, it wouldn't have been in the papers, that, would it? So many people would have missed out on that if they mixed his rides up. But he'd never even been to Scotland before, never mind ridden an air. And what a day he had. Four rides, four winners, including the big one.
Yes, he won the William Hill Air Gold Cup on board Highland Glory. And, Andrew Baldwin's kind of looked after him a little bit, hasn't he? He doesn't want his claim to go too quickly, and he rewarded him big time, didn't he?
Yes, four times yesterday, and Andrew would be half wishing he stopped him a week ago. But it was great stuff winning the big William Hill Air Gold Cup for the stable, because Andrew's father won it years ago with Lockstong. It was also ridden by an apprentice at the time, Frank Arrowsmith, and but Andrew was absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, I bet it was. And Sam Turner made me chuckle last night as well a little bit. He tweeted saying, it's a good job they ran out of races at Ayr, or else O'Sheen Murphy might have ridden out his claim in Monday.
Absolutely. Yes, tremendous stuff. And wasn't it sort of fitting as well that he rode the last win of the Western meeting for John Quinn, who had such a great week.
He did, didn't he?
Completely... defied the orders, because the race didn't pan out to the orders he was given. Just used his head and rode his own race, and just a natural. You only get away with that if you're a natural.
Yeah, that's the good thing about it, isn't it? It didn't go to plan, the original plan, and he could think on his feet. So that's good. A good day there, though, wasn't it, as well, with the Silver Cup and everything else on
tremendous,
there?
Tremendous, tremendous. And mentioned the Silver Cup, his trainer... formerly called Michael Easterby now, but known universally throughout the game as Mick Easterby, has announced he's retiring, and son David, who's doing his modules at present, is going to take over.
Yeah,
he sadly missed Mick. I don't think he'll be missed. I mean, Peter Easterby doesn't hold the licence now, but Peter's always there at the big meetings and stuff, but they don't make trainers like Mick Easterby anymore. They all look like flaming accountants now, don't they?
Yeah,
and it's bank managers.
Yeah, it's good how he's described as a colourful character, like a colourful training
colourful
career.
Colourful doesn't even go there, Mark. It doesn't even go there.
Yeah, I suppose a few broadcasters might be a bit relieved. He's had some choice language in the past, hasn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't mix his words, but he's dearly beloved by the likes of Lady Halifax, etc., so he must be doing something right.
Oh, he certainly did plenty right, didn't he? And away from air, let's reflect on some other news as well. Intello. After that impressive success at Longchamp, he's now going to go to the Arc. So we're going to have the French Derby winner in the Arc, which is a nice touch, isn't it?
It's good to see him go in there, isn't it? He's got to prove himself over 12 furlongs, and of course the French Derby went over the extended 10. Mm. But very impressive, isn't he? A horse who travels supremely well in his race. He'll have the master tactician of French racetracks on board, won't he? And that race yesterday, which was, it was 9 seconds, 9.23 seconds slower than average, to be precise. So what sort of test it was for him, we know he's going to go there in great form with a nice confidence-boosting win under his belt. I don't suppose he did any more or any less than he had to win it, but at least it shows that Andre Farb's got him where he wants him. So, and he's got to be respected, and... He adds a nice addition to the lineup, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And whether he'll stay or not is the question mark. He's by Galileo, who's yet to sire an Arc winner.
Out of a Dane Hill mare, which might be the stumbling block, but he's very, very good at 10 furlongs, and if he just get away with it, who knows?
Yeah, Urban Sea, he's out of Urban Sea, who won it in 93. She's the mare that won it in 93, and is related to See the Stars, or half-brother to See the
Absolutely,
Stars.
Absolutely, there are definite signs in the pedigree that it's not going to be beyond. It's just that Favre's been so reluctant to try him. It just makes me wonder whether it's part of a master plan that he's going to win the Arc first time in a mile and a half and be the best mile and a half horse in the world that we've seen for yonks.
That would be a plan, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't put it past Favre to pull the stunt like that.
Okay. Anything else got your eye over the last few days and weeks, Mick?
There's been so much of it, hasn't there? And I mean the Newmarket and Newbury cards would have stood up on their own in any given day. Mm. We saw some tremendous performances in Newbury. It was great to see Camborne winning what is registered as an ARC trial. No, it's about as much as an ARC trial as me coming to work as a trial for the Olympic 100 metres. But anyway, he couldn't do any more than win, and they've got their eye on the. I think I heard this Cesarewicz mentioned, or something like that.
But, maybe so, yeah.
Yeah. And a supplicant provided a 1-2 for Richard Fahey in the Dubai Duty Free Mill Reef Stakes, and Tony Hamilton was on the right one for Richard, beating his stable companion, supplicant, beating Rufford by 3/4 length, and with another Northern 2-year-old in hot streak, close up in third. So a good result for the North in the...
Tony Hamilton thought he was going to go to air this weekend, didn't he?
And Hannigan switched to there, so he switched to Newbury. So yeah. that worked out really well for him. And great to see Marek back in the winner's enclosure in the Dubai International World Trophy, that Group 3 of the Flying Five. Well, again, he beat another Northern Raider in York Glory, and good to see him back in the winner's enclosure for his new trainer. Same owner, different trainer. And also at... And Bow Creek, who disappointed so badly last time. I didn't know what was happening with him at York, because he'd run so well at York the time before when he was third in that really hot maiden. Went to Chester, bolted up. I thought, well, he looks nearly unbeatable off that market. York finished last, and then he bounced back. Yes, oh, dear me, this game. And the Newmarket car threw up plenty of pointers as well, with the two... class acts, if you like. Well, certainly Wedding Ring, but I mean Toofy beat Gelotto. They were the two sort of form horses of the race, and you know, it was fair and square. There was only a length between them at the line, so I think both of those sales races held up, and I think there'll be plenty of winners come out of them. The performance of the day for me, though, was Oriental Fox in the Cesarewicz trial, and I don't know whether Johnny Murta's skills as a rider maximised the visual effect of the performance, but he made him look like a very, very good horse on the day. And if he turns up in the Cesarewicz in a performance like that, and don't forget he went very close in the Northumberland Plate, a race that's the go-to race if you're wanting clues for any of these big staying handicaps. So yeah. If he turns up on Cesarewicz Day in the same form, he's going to beat more than beats him, that's for sure.
Okay, yes, a very good weekend, and let's move on to a new week then, Mick. We've got Monday's racing. We're going to focus on the racing at Leicester, because there's some nice field sizes there, good racing.
Absolutely.
Good each-way shape for the races.
Yeah, I've had a look at a few. They're all good each-way races, some of them four places, Mark. So, so we've looked a little bit outside the box with one or two of them, and hopefully we can get something in the frame at a nice price.
Okay, let's start in the 2 o'clock then. This is a Filly's Nursery over the nearly 6 furlong trip, isn't it? And 18 of them in the lineup here, Mick. So you say you've got a few each way candidates. Let's talk through.
Maybe not so much in this one, but later on in the big handicaps, I'll go through my fancies in race card order. Number 5 is Inspirited, trained by Charles Appleby. Sylvester D'Souza in the saddle for Godolphin, this daughter of Invincible. She can race off a £5 lower mark than when she was 5th of 15 in a Class 2 nursery at Newmarket on her penultimate outing. And although she was beaten in Class 5 last time at Kempton, that was on the polytrack, she did did look the best filly in the race, just didn't see it out towards the end. But I think back on the grass, off 73, I don't think we should give up on this Inspirity yet. The next one I want to look at is Hips, number 7. Pat Cosgrave was in good form at the moment. For George Baker, was in equally as good form. Didn't have to improve dramatically from its debut to win next time out. And that was on a soft ground at Lingfield. Both of its starts so far have been on the turf at Lingfield, showing a really good attitude, actually. The front two went well clear in the closing stages, and I think she's been let in here off a mark of 72. So she's going to get the vote, is Hips from her informed stable. And the other one I wouldn't give up on yet is Herbar, trained by Roger Verrian, Andrea Azzini in the saddle. And they've gone for the blinkers for the first time on her. I mean, she's really well bred. She's by champion European miler Dan Silly out of Nell Gwyn winner Collude, and has shown distinct promise. And that fourth of 14 on her debut at Haydock in May, you wouldn't have thought that come September she'd be running around in a handicap of 61. So if the blinkers can coax her back to that kind of form, now there's plenty of negatives, if you like. She's back in trip from 7 last time. She's got the blinkers on. Hannigan prefers the other one, the Hamdan horse C-Fat, but she's too well handicapped for her informed stable to ignore. On that debut run, she's not a 61 filly, and if the blinkers bring her back to that, she's going to outrun her price. So I'd just be keeping an eye on her, although Hips is getting the vote.
Yeah, and Roger Varian stable very much in inform at the moment, out of the flying at the moment since they got over that. Was it virus that they had in the stable, and then since?
Yeah, they closed down, didn't they? Yeah. And since they came back, they've just been unbelievable.
Mm. On to the 4 o'clock next, then, Mick. This is another handicap. This one's a Class 3 handicap over 5 furlongs. And shall we start here with Burning Thread, who returned to winning ways last time, Mick. He's at Sandown. He's back up in the weights to a mark of 93, but he has scored off higher in the past. I remember him winning a listed race not too many years ago.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And he's found the winning habit of late. And good runs the last twice, and he's got to be respected. I just think he could be vulnerable where he is in the 90s, but a sprinter in form, it's dangerous to discount them, isn't it? This is one of the races I looked outside the box a little bit, looking for a bit of value here, because we've got 18 marks, so yeah. We've got 4 places to aim at. So the ones I've got on the shortlist are number 10, New Forest. Now, this is going to be one of the market leaders. That man's on board, isn't he?
He is, yeah, so Sheen Murphy.
Yeah, for his boss, Andrew Balding. Was hammered by the handicap of this daughter of Oasis Dream for winning a weak Warwick contest. But I thought that probably put paid to her. But to credit, she ran really well off her new mark under Oisin last time at Chester, suggesting that this mark of 88 is not beyond her. So she makes the shortlist. Jack Louis is the other one. Now, he's all or nothing. A bit all or nothing, Jack Louis.
Yeah.
But very good on his day. And there were definite signs that he was back close to his very best last time at Doncaster. Wasn't beaten very far in a very competitive race, probably stronger than this. And he's going to be a big price. He's going to be a double-figure price, I'm sure. So he's going on the shortlist each way, as is the bottom one, Bispham Green, the 3-year-old, trained by Richard Fye, Paul Hannigan in the saddle. Yet to win a handicap, but it's gone close off higher marks than this in the past. And his last two runs, I've seen him run this horse, his last two runs at York, he's finished 5th in both of them, both in very competitive handicaps, arguably again more competitive than this, and close up 5ths in both of them, suggesting his turn could be near. And I think I'm going to dutch those two each way with 4 places on offer, Jack Louis and Bispham Green.
Okay. And on to the 5 o'clock next, and this is a Class 5 handicap over a mile, and 14 of them in the lineup here, so we can still have a nice each-way shape to the race.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be, you know, 4 or 5 to on the field, isn't it?
Yeah, plenty coming into it in decent form. I'll start with number 8, Aqua Ardennes, trained by George Baker. We just highlighted George is also in good form, as is jockey Pat Cosgrave. Still relatively unexposed, £4 higher than the last win, but has been placed off marks in the 70s the last twice, suggesting that the mark, new mark, is not beyond him, and has held his form well, like most of his stable companions, winning twice at Brighton, running well in defeat there the last twice, and I think another big run's on the cards. The next one I want to look at is Soaring Spirits, trained by Roger Varian, Andrew Azzini in the saddle. Only his ninth career start on Monday, and he's £4 higher than that win two outings ago. But the race after the win off the new mark, he went up to 10, and it didn't stay. So you can just forget that run. He's back to a mile. The stable are in form, and I still don't think he's handicapped out of this off just a £4 higher mark. And with the stable in such rampant form,
yeah,
he's got to be respected. As has Night Owl, trained by James Fanshawe. Shane Kelly taking the ride, appears to be going the right way. And the worry with that Night Owl is it was a beaten favourite. The previous four attempts before, made favourite again last time when winning at Nottingham, but sure to be there or thereabouts again. But they'll come for it again, they're sure to, and it'll probably get over bet. So again, hopefully, maybe two against the field, if you like, with 14 to aim at. Aqua Ardennes and Soaring Spirit each way might be the way forward there.
Okay. As always, then, let's have a little bit of a summary, if you want, mate, before you go.
Okay, I think the nursery looks booked for Hips. I think that mark is too tempting to ignore. In the very competitive Class 3 sprint at 4 o'clock, I'm going for two against the field here with four places on offer. Let's hope that the 18 stand the ground. And they are number 11, Jack Louis, and the bottom one, number 18, Bisper McGreen. Both of them should reward each way support at fancy prices. And we're dutching the 5 o'clock as well with Aqua Ardennes for the informed George Baker, and Soaring Spirits from the equally informed Varian Yard.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. And you're back in the studio on Monday as well.
I'm back in on Monday. I'll be in the presenter's chair on Monday.
Yes. 3 days in a row. You can't get enough of the game at the moment, Mick.
Absolutely. I'll need to lie down on Tuesday.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy it on Monday, Mick.
Okay, Mark.
There you go then, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing at Leicester. There's also racing at Hamilton and on the all-weather poly track at Kempton as well. Three meetings to look forward to. You'll hear all of them on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM with Mick Norton, John Budden and Gareth Topham in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.